Well, good morning. It is a wonderful opportunity, blessing to be here with you this morning. If you would, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. I want to look at a story in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 16 this morning. I want us to recognize today passion and voice. And I believe that our church works and our church will work well when each member finds their God-given passion and voice. Over the last few weeks, we have been in kind of a strange time. The way that we worship, the way that we interact is different and difficult sometimes. I thank you so much for being here with us. It means a lot to me to be able to see one another. But I miss the chance just to be able to give hugs, to shake hands, to have a conversation like we used to stay and to be connected with one another like we used to. And I know things are a little bit different, but it has been an interesting time, a good time, actually. And I want to say that for this church, we stand on the shoulders of giants. We are looking at some opportunities that are in front of us in a very unique way right now. And it's because many people have been working to figure out how to make the best of these circumstances. I'm so thankful for our elders who continue to look out for our safety and for our health, and the guidelines that we have in place give us a chance to gather here in this room or to be online, and for us to continue to fellowship and be together, to study, to worship together. I'm so thankful that we have an opportunity throughout the week for us to engage in Zoom meetings, to see one another's face, to interact and talk with one another, to study God's word, that our elders are taking time to have these Zoom gatherings so that they can have discussion and connection with our congregation. I remember as we were getting started, we didn't know exactly how everything was going to look. And so we came in one morning for our staff meeting, and I said, hey, we may not be able to come back to our office this next week. I don't know what the future holds. And our secretary, Nancy, said, well, there's no way that we can do what we do from home. So we spent the next hour discussing how we could pack up what we needed and how we could go into our own homes and continue on with our work. She came back the next day and said, listen, as far as I'm concerned, this office is essential for this church. And as far as I'm able, I will make sure that I'm here each and every day. And I'm so thankful for her. This coming week, she's going in for surgery for her hand, and so she's going to be out of the office for a couple of weeks, and I ask that you pray for her. I want you to look back in this back corner and see these two guys that are running our tech booth. My son, Levi, who's been working to help us have the sound and the quality that we have in this room, the online features that we've been having for the last few weeks. I also see Kyle Holton, our youth minister, who's now running tech and working to learn all these things. It was posted just the other day, this comment on Facebook. It said, churches, go overboard in tending to your youth and children's ministers. They have been doing things in this season, this summer, that they've never done before. Their passion is there, but how to lead through physical distancing and Zoom fatigue is exhausting. Let them know that they matter. I want to say thank you to our leaders. Thank you to our staff. Thank you to you who are participating in this way so that we can continue to be a church. This morning we gather in a small gathering. We are spread out in this room, but what happened just a little while ago in the first service, what's happening here now, what's happening online right now, and what will happen online throughout today gives us a voice in our community that is greater than South Fork has had in many, many years. And we are taking this difficult time and making something interesting and blessing for our community and for our world. Our church works. Our church works well when we find our God-given passion and our God-given voice. I remember after preaching one time at another church, I was sharing this idea that God is great, right? Amen? God is good and he deserves praise. I was trying to challenge our congregation to find ways to express the greatness of God in their daily lives. And after services, this older gentleman came up to me. He shook my hand and he said, "Matt, I have no problem talking about God. If someone has a question they ask me, I will be happy to answer that. But I do not feel comfortable. It feels fake. It feels forced. It feels pushy for me to take a conversation and turn it towards God. I don't like that. I can't do that." He walked on. It was the next Sunday, right after services, without asking or anything. He came up to me right after services, shook my hand, and began to tell me about a trip that he was so excited about. He was going to see his daughter and his new grandchild. And he went on and on and on about all the details of all of that. 2 weeks later, he was back in our services after having that trip. Again, he comes up to me and I shake his hand. We have some dialogue about the day and the events that was just happening. And then he changes the conversation and he begins to brag about his new grandbaby and the great trip that he just had with his family. I get this big smile all over my face and I kind of wink at him and I said, I thought you said you had difficulty changing the subject. I thought you said it was difficult to bring up a new topic. Are you telling me that your grandbaby is more important than God?" And I said it in kind of a facetious way, and we kind of laughed for just a moment, but we got the message that sometimes we are hampered from really expressing our own true passion about the greatness of God because there's something inside of us that's holding us back. Acts chapter 3 tells us this unique story. It's Acts 3 and Acts 16 are two stories that just kind of blow my mind. They bring me to a situation in which the outcome, the words, are not what we would normally expect. The way that things are presented are drastically different than what is really would be in my mind. In Acts chapter 3, look at this with me together. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock service. As they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg from the people going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, 'Look at us.' And the lame man looked at them, eager, expecting some money. But Peter said, 'I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk.'" That story is unique because that's not the way most of us would present a conversation with somebody begging or asking for money. Let me tell you three things that are important as you look at this story and as you look at your life. Number one, you have something that is valuable and worthwhile to offer this world. God did not make junk. God did not make a mistake. And the things that you have been given in your life can be a great blessing to many others. I want you to pay attention to this story because it tells us some things that are important for our lives. Number one, you have something worthwhile to share. Number two, your words matter. The way you speak will either open a door or will close a door. The way you talk to somebody will either open a connection or it will close a connection. It will open a heart, it will close a heart. How you speak matters. And number three, your response does not have to match up with the request. The way that the conversation starts does not mean that's the way it's going to finish. The way that they bring something to be in the conversation does not mean that you have to carry that all the way out. You can change the conversation and you can present even God in a way that is a blessing and worthwhile. We may not have silver or gold, but what we have, we will give to you. We may not have the resources that are being asked for, but what we have, we will give. Your passion will be voiced. Your attitude will come out in your words. No matter who you are or where you are, your attitude is expressed in one way or another. Either it is a blessing or it is a problem. Your attitude is expressed. Shakespeare once wrote that all the world is a stage and all the men and women are merely players. They have their exit, they have their entrance. And one man in his time plays many parts. I want to ask, have you allowed your circumstances? Have you allowed your failures? Have you allowed your current situation to prevent you from expressing your passion in the greatness of God? Have you allowed your busyness, your activities, to prevent you from seeing the opportunities that are around you? Are you missing the great opportunities that God gives us each and every day to proclaim the greatness of who He is? If you want to see lives change, if you want to see hearts given over to God, then we have to walk by faith. We sometimes have to choose to put ourselves into difficult situations to live by faith for His own glory. I'm reminded of a story of this shoe company in Brazil many, many years ago. They were pretty well known in this major region of São Paulo. They were looking to expand their influence out into some of the more rural markets. And so one day this manager put two of his salespeople on this bus and shipped them off to this area. And as they get off, it was one of the most rural areas in their district. They get off and they see not very many built houses, but it was just the mud and the thatched huts. They don't see any paved roads. It's all just dirt paths. They don't see anyone in shoes or even sandals. The first salesman gets off the bus. He assesses the situation. He quickly finds the next bus back and returns back to the home office to tell the manager what was going on. Shares with him the desperate need of that city, that town, that village, that outpost, but there was no opportunity for a shoe salesman in that location. About a week later, the other salesman finally returns back to the home office, and the manager is frantic about where and why this guy was gone so long. And the second salesman sits down with the manager and starts to explain to him what the whole situation looked like with roads, with few homes, with nobody wearing shoes. And the manager then just blurts out. He's like, well, then why did you waste your time in a place like that where it had no opportunity for sales? And the salesperson says, what do you mean no opportunity? Everyone needed shoes. In fact, look at this, and I have this whole box full of orders. Our perspective, our understanding of a situation gives rise to our own passion, our own voice. I want to ask you, during your trials, will you praise God? During the difficult times in life, will you praise God? Will you find a reason for that? There's a story in Acts chapter 16 of Paul and Silas as they're thrown into a Philippian jail. They are beaten, they are chained, they are left with virtually nothing. And as night comes, they find that the one thing that they have left is just their voice for praise. Luke tells a story in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 19 through 25, says they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. And the whole city was in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted to the city officials. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. And a mob quickly formed around Paul and Silas. And the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten and they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was ordered to make sure that they did not escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. The story continues on in Acts 16, verse 26 through 36. And it's a great moment of an earthquake as the jail is being opened, as the jailer comes to this moment of conflict. And then there he is presented with the gospel message, and he and his family are baptized. It's a beautiful message. And sometimes we focus in on the 26 through 36 and we miss verse 25 because they, in their moment, had nothing but their voice, and that's what they gave. Their passion for God brought them to a place that lifted them up out of their difficult circumstances, and they found their voice. For a church to work, for a church to be successful, we must be passionate about the God-given opportunities that are in front of us. We must find our voice and bring it into this world. Otherwise, the world misses out. Imagine this story for just a moment. Paul and Silas find themselves in this conflict. They find themselves thrown into prison. And imagine for just a moment, had they remained silent that night, had they not praised God in the midst of their difficult circumstances, we would not have this story. This family would not have heard the message of Jesus Christ. Church works when we find our God-given gifts and our God-given voice. I want to ask you, who will you tell about your passion in God? Who are you going to share your passion with today? Inside our bulletin, there's an opportunity right in the middle for us to write some things down. And I've got this table right at the top. I want you to write down your gifts, my gifts, five things that God has given to you. In the first story, Peter and John say, "Silver and gold have we none." Maybe silver and gold might be your gifting from God. In the second story, they didn't have anything but their voice to sing and to pray to God. Maybe your voice is a gift from God. What are five things that God has given you? Write those down. Take a moment to realize the blessings that God has given you. Now, the second column, five people, my people, that would be blessed, would be benefited if they were to receive this blessing that God has given to me. If they would hear the gospel message, if they would hear the name of Jesus Christ as I benefit and I bless their lives, would you take some time to write down five gifts and five people and spend some time praying over those people and those opportunities this week? Our church works when each member finds their God-given passion and their voice. But let me share with you three things that will stop you. Three things that will probably prevent some of you from moving forward with this task of sharing your passion in God. Number one is your disbelief in God. Can I say that in church? Your disbelief in God will probably prevent some of you from sharing your passion with those that are around you. Your attitude in difficult times and that voice inside your head. Number one, your belief in the words of God, that they're not as powerful Monday morning as they are Sunday morning. Your belief in God's word is not as powerful today in this time as it was in Bible times. You are disbelieving that God can do great things because you see great things happening in great moments, great things happening in little by little by little moments of faith. We disbelieve in God. Your attitude can either be your greatest asset or your greatest liability. Your attitude is your choice. David Brinkley, he's a former anchor, news anchor, found out he was born in Wilmington, North Carolina. He says, "A successful man is one who can lay a firm foundation from the bricks that others throw at him." Your attitude in the midst of difficult times will present you the opportunities that others will run from. An English heart surgeon, Martin Lloyd-Jones, said about our happiness. He says, "Most unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to your own voice or your own self rather than talking to yourself." You know that most Christians don't share their faith, don't share their passion with their family and friends, not because of a resistance, not because of some sort of threat from the world, but because of the voice inside their head that says, "Now is not the right time. I am not the right person. This is not the best way to go about it." And we talk ourselves out of speaking the greatness of God. Church works when we find our God-given gifts. We find our God-given voice, and we express it in the world. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not for men." We are saying these things for God's glory, not for our own, not for the benefit of anybody else, but for God to be glorified. Zig Ziglar, the motivational speaker, says that everybody is in sales. I want to ask you, are you preparing for better sales? Have you been looking for new areas to have more sales? If sharing our faith was our business, let me ask you, how is your business going? Church works when we find our God-given passion and our voice. Let me close with this story. I was sitting at a restaurant one day. A very successful businessman had asked me to lunch. He had a couple things that were a challenge in his life. If you sat across from the table from Ramon, you would just see a sparkling image of success. I mean, he dressed for success. He smiled for success. He spoke for success. The meeting that we were having over lunch, he was attentive. He was inquisitive. He was involved. I mean, he was focused in on what I was sharing, and he was paying attention to me and the rest of the restaurant. You see, when John, our waiter, would come to the table, Ramon had this ability that with his body language, he could pause our conversation and then he could welcome John in as he was bringing our food or pouring our drinks. He would have a moment of conversation with John while we were having our conversation. And Ramon was this conductor. He was this observer of all these things that were going on, and he was focused in on the things that we were talking about. I feel like I had some things to share with him, and he was blessed. He said he really appreciated our time. As we came to the end of our lunch, we finished up and we were getting ready to walk out. And I thought we were going to continue our conversation out into the parking lot. But as I got up, Ramon got up. And instead of walking with me towards the exit, Ramon walked directly over to John, who was just leaving another table. And Ramon puts his hand out and he says, "John, thank you so much for your service today. You were spot on. You were aware of our each and every need. I appreciate your quality and your service, your professionalism. I want you to know, a man in my position, I'm always looking for those individuals who provide a quality service." Ramon reaches into his pocket. He pulls out a business card wrapped in a very generous tip, and he says, "John, have a great day." And he walks away. And you know what John did after that? I mean, you know what John did. John followed Ramon and engaged that conversation a little bit more. I wonder if in sharing our faith, something significantly more valuable than Ramon's business, I wonder if sharing our faith, we could be like that. We could see the opportunities. We could seize those moments. We could speak our passion in the world around us. I wonder today if we would just be hoarders of God's blessings, hoarders of God's truth, hoarders of God's experiences and the greatness of being in God's family and never giving that out, or if we are going to be individuals, if we are going to be members who really take the moment to speak our passion, to speak the truth, and be a blessing in our world. Today, I want to ask you, what has God given to you? How has your life been changed? How has God blessed you now that you know the truth of His purpose and direction for your life? I want to ask you, are you ready to speak that or to remain silent? Our office is open throughout the week. If you're finding it difficult to find your voice, come in. Let us pray with you. Let us counsel you. If you would like some encouragement, our elders are here. They would love to pray over you, to challenge you, to encourage you, to help you to see the opportunities that are before you. If our church is to work, each and every member must find their God-given passion, their God-given gift. and bring that to voice within our world. With that, we now have a choice. Will we speak or will we remain silent? I pray for your sake and for those that are around you, you will find your voice and be a blessing to those in your life. Let's stand together and sing.
Lord, take